It may surprise you to hear me say this, but say this I will. I don't know how to preach. I've been trying to preach for nearly 30 years, and after 30 years, I know less about how to preach a sermon than I did when I began. Here's what I've learned. When it comes to sermons, people don't listen. More accurately, people don't hear. Too many obstacles to successful communication. Skeptical modern world, science, attention deficit disorder, hormones, sin. Oh, I work on a sermon, I do my homework, and I stand up here and thrash about for 20 minutes, tell some sappy stories, gesture a lot, but you don't hear. Even though the lights are on and I'm here, you don't hear. I don't know how to preach. I've tried every technique, tried different forms and arrangements. It's hard to hear the things of God, particularly things of God. How can you talk to someone about God? How do you speak in such a way that people don't just hear about God, but are brought to God? I have learned that it's just about impossible to give a good sermon. And it's also impossible to get a good sermon. But sometimes people do get a sermon. People do undeniably hear. Most of you keep coming back because having had lightning strike once, it might well strike again and you want to be here for it. Having once shuffled in here, distracted, unfocused, unsure, you have, despite all else, irrefutably heard. And so that brings me to what annoys me about you. It's when I preach a sermon that I mean to be good, but isn't, say, a sermon that could have been a good sermon if only I'd had a month more to work on it. Poorly illustrated, badly supported, turgid, opaque, that sort of sermon, you know. And you come out of here in tears in your eyes and you grip my hand and say, "Thank you, that was wonderful, you changed my life. I got it." And I want to say, got what? I have the manuscript for that sermon. I know how to preach a sermon. I know a bad sermon when I hear one. There was nothing there. Now why, despite my worst efforts, did you hear? Who pulled back the veil between us and God? Not me. A clergy friend of mine, for his sabbatical, didn't read books or write articles. He chose to travel around the country visiting churches, listening to sermons. I asked him what he learned in his 30-sermon tour, and he said, "I think it's a miracle that anybody hears anything." And yet you do. Why? I think it's a miracle. Pascal Pensées, one of the greatest minds ever, inclusive, probing, struggling with the big questions, looking for answers, frustrated. And then in the middle of the night, Pascal writes, "Not the God of the philosophers, but the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, fire, fire, fire." Even so great a mind as Pascal couldn't climb his way up to God, so the living God ignited him. Today's gospel. It was another day at the river. John was baptizing, washing people up, getting ready for the Messiah. It was a ritual Jews sometimes went through, a kind of purification rite associated with preparation for the coming of the Messiah. "Messiah's coming," John preached. "Someday, sometime, someplace, Messiah's coming." People were filled with expectation. John didn't say Messiah's here. John preached Messiah's coming. Just going through the motions, expecting the Messiah. People interrupted his sermon with, "Are you the Messiah?" "No," John answered. "I couldn't tie the shoelaces of the one who's coming after me, the one you're expecting. I baptize with water. The one who's coming after me, more powerful than I am, will baptize you with wind and fire." John said, "I just wash you up. He will burn you up, purify you." Heap of difference between expecting the word of God and hearing it. A great distance between anticipating the possibility of the presence of God and actually getting the presence of God. Well, John is baptizing. Next, wade in the water, stoop to the water, get up out of the water. Next, wade in, stoop, next. And then, with this one from Nazareth, dove, spirit, voice, the heaven ripped open, the veil torn asunder, fire. This dove, spirit, voice is a Bible way of saying that God was present. That great dove spirit hovering over the muddy Jordan waters reminds us of that primal spirit hovering over the waters at creation, bringing light and life. You know enough about the Bible to know that. Through much of the Gospels, Jesus can be enigmatic. Jesus tells these cryptic, incomprehensible, often pointless parables. Who can understand him? But here, in this moment, at the first of the year, the veil is pulled back. There is a voice all the way from heaven, and we see, we hear. You are my son, your beloved. A voice directed not at us, but at Jesus. A conversation within the Trinity. But we get a miraculous overhearing, and that's enough. This voice is from heaven. It's not of earth. It is not a voice like most of what you hear today that arises out of your infantile background, the damage your mother inflicted upon you during your latent stage, something you're dealing with from adolescence, an upsurge of the human spirit. It is not a word psychologically, sociologically, or anthropologically derived. It is from heaven, that is, from God. This voice is a miracle. I don't know how many heard that voice that day. I'm glad somebody heard it, saw the dove, felt the fire, and had the guts to tell us. Because maybe then we, though sorely limited by our modern epistemological restraints, can be open to such a voice, such a vision. We baptize babies. Why? A baby can't believe in the Apostles' Creed. A baby can't accept Christ as his personal Savior. A baby can't think theologically, can't obey the Ten Commandments, which makes the baby utterly, totally dependent on the grace of God to do for that baby what the baby can't do for his or herself. If this baby's going to get back to God, it will take a miracle. Get my drift? We promise, we baptize in promise, in expectation. God will work in this child's life. We baptize anybody, any age, into that same promise. Everybody here requires a voice. Everybody needs a dove. Everybody has got to have some heavenly aperture. It can't be of your own devising, or you won't get home. One of you has been attending this church for years, and yet you told somebody that you hadn't understood one sermon in 100 all those month of Sundays, and yet you keep coming back to church Sunday after Sunday. Don't understand 1 in 100? Why? I don't mean why don't you understand, because as we've noticed, there are dozens of reasons why people don't hear God's word. I mean, why do you keep coming? Because 4 years ago in a sermon by a guest preacher, fire. The heavens opened, a dove descended, and down to the tips of your toes you heard God so close you could feel the breath of God. I can't preach God's word to you. Forgive me when I try and explain Jesus, attempt to talk you into the faith. I can't, and it has nothing to do with my preaching ability. It's because revelation, recognition, when it's about God, is always a gift. It's always a miracle. It's got to come from heaven. I can't preach, you can't hear, except as miracle. I'm not saying that the baptism of Jesus happened just the way it's told, with a literal dove descending upon an unbellished baptism with actual audible voice. I'm not saying this fire was not somewhat figurative. I'm not saying that visions like this happen every day. But I am saying that it will happen to you. You're being baptized. You're taking a breath, a bath. You're taking a break. You're listening to a sermon. You're staring off into space. And then just when you thought the world was all safe and silent, the one hushed voice, the heavens open, an inexplicable, undeniable, some big bird swoops down, wind. And despite reservations, you dare wade into the water. You draw near the fire. And in an instant, God
has got a hold of you. Amen.